peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio, episode number 117. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. And if you are new to the show, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the program. And if you are a true blue listener through and through, thank you so much. I was just actually looking at iTunes and wanted to thank Auntie Lynn. That's the name on the iTunes review for what she shared. She said, seriously, my favorite podcast. Ken says, quote, even though I am not a mom, in fact, I am a dad, I enjoy listening to the show. The interesting guests, the humor make the show enjoyable for anyone to listen to, and it's easy to relate to the discussions on family, life, faith, and good things. Thank you, Ken. Love you guys. Just wanted to share that and say thank you. And if you haven't left a review on iTunes, I would be most grateful if you would just consider it. Share a quick note. You can spread the word that way. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And on the show today, speaking of good things, we have a superb guest for you, an interview with three-time World Police Olympics boxing champion, former USA middleweight kickboxing champion, a retired veteran of the LA County Sheriff's Department, radio host, author, speaker. He's like just like this powerhouse evangelist, Jesse Romero, one of my favorites. He really needs no introduction, but after that, that's also how he approaches evangelization and his own faith life. And this is an interview that right out of the box, he comes swinging, but then he really gets into his own heart, his own prayer life, and how we can reach men in a time where there's a lot competing for the heart of a man. There are a lot of vices. There are a lot of distractions. So he is a must-listen-to voice, and I cannot wait. He's a tough act to follow, but I can't wait for you to hear what he has to say. And a couple new favorite things, including preparing for a trip to the Holy Land, getting ready for the Feast of All Saints and All Souls Day. As we kick off, as we always do, if you would join me, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel reading this week, we're reminded of the greatest commandment in the law. It's Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Heavenly Father, it is you that matters most, serving you, loving you, knowing you, and trusting in your promises. Lord, fill our hearts with mercy, patience, joy, forbearance, faithfulness, self-control, all of the fruits of the Spirit. Give us the grace to love our neighbors, our in-laws, ourselves, those whom we struggle to love sometimes. We also pray for the family of believers listening to this program today, for our guest, Jesse Romero, our Podbean patron, Mark, our producer. Lord, we lift up our needs to you and pray especially for those in most need of your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's Brooks House. Oh, it's Brooks House.
Come on in. I'm actually getting supper started right now. I have acorn, stuffed acorn squash, which I'm not sure if the kids are going to eat, but it's healthy. That's going along with a double batch of skinny banana bread. And so the way that works is you use egg whites and applesauce, brown sugar. So it's not the white refined sugar and the full eggs, still really tasty. And I have to thank Vanessa, our listener in California, because she shared, and I think I've talked about it on the show before, this website, Skinny Taste. It's great because all of the recipes are skinny-fied and they're less calories. They're kind of unofficially Weight Watchers approved because she always records how many smart points are in every recipe. And I use it every week. So I can link those recipes up for you. But that's going on one side. On the other side, I'm planning a birthday party for my baby, my youngest son, Gus. Augustine is going to be 6. I can't believe it. I can't even believe I'm saying he's going to be 6 on October 27th. So it's nuts. There's just been some mom tears. That's part of the mix. But in addition to that, I wanted to give you a quick update on my mom. Some of you may have heard, if you saw on Facebook, that we had a scare last week. She was taken to the hospital, and I just wanted to give you the scoop and tell you how she's doing. which is good. And especially thank you for your prayers. But what happened is we went to Mass together, which was rare and wonderful at the monastery, Santa Clara Monastery. We met with Sister Agnes, who's from Tanzania, after that, just had a really great morning. And then kind of in a random way, but you know, not really, because the Holy Spirit doesn't do things randomly. My mom shared with me that she was going to be having lunch with her friend Judy and her other friend Diane. So I was there at my son's high school in the afternoon to pick him up, bring him to work. And I get a call I see come in on my cell from Judy. And so right away I knew they were having lunch. And why would Judy be calling me out of the blue in the middle of their lunch? So I picked it up. Sure enough, what was happening is my mom was on the ground. She had a scare, which it wasn't, she didn't collapse and she didn't pass out, but it was, she blacked out and her blood pressure was super low. And she physically had to lay on this restaurant floor. When the medics came, she couldn't recall her social security number, her name. You know, they ask you some of those basic questions. So it was scary. She was really lightheaded. At the end of the day, they never did find the source, which is a good thing. That's a blessing. But at the same time, you know, something caused it. So you want to be able to find the source of what went wrong. And it was one of those, okay, go into daughter, what needs to be done mode. I was in the middle of picking everybody up from school. I needed to get them where they needed to be, get to the hospital to meet my mom. It's a different ball of wax now. She's a widow. My dad's not there, and he would be the one that would be there in a minute. And then she'd have to go home to an empty house. So it reminded me of the blessing of being close. I was able to get there. But what I noticed is after she was settled in the emergency room and just kind of got her bearings, and it took a while, and they marked off all the usual suspects. It wasn't low blood sugar. It wasn't dehydration. There really wasn't anything. They did an EKG that they could point to and say, this is it. But what I noticed when I grabbed her phone is word had spread. The Bible study and the prayer group, the prayer chains, all were notified. She had 52 messages on her phone from her friends that were asking, praying, wondering how she was doing. And I just thought that was so amazing. And I'm constantly learning as I transition through different stages of life. I mean, that's what life is about. We're always learning. But one of those lessons for me has been the reality that we need our friends more, I think, the older that we get. And I used to assume that when you're younger, you need your friends as you're kind of finding out who you are and building your circle, and you dream with your friends and you confide in your friends. And now for me, this stage of life, it is a bit tougher because of my time limitations. And I think when I was younger, I thought when I got married, my husband would take on that role. And he is my best friend, but he's not a woman. So we do still need our friends. And I see it in my mom. I see it in a lot of faithful ladies as I look around, that we are made for community. And so many of these ladies, they're widows now as well. So they are jumping in. What do you need? What can we bring over? Praying, rallying. And even the shy ones, the introverted ones, we need community. We need friends. And I think for me, sometimes, especially when I'm in a funk, it's easy to say, you know what? I don't need friends. I'm better off alone. All I need is the Lord. But for good mental health, I do see that reminder when I look at my mom's phone that it is good. Just something that I was reflecting on today, the importance of nurturing our friendships, even when life is busy. And this would actually be a really good time for me to offer a shameless plug for the Arise Retreat, because it is. That's where it stemmed from. This open-armed, open-hearted community of women being knitted together that way. And thank you again for all those who happened to see that Facebook post, prayed for my mom, and just for the gift of her friends as well. Life is so precious, and friends can be healing balm. I really believe that.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting, big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So this time around, it is a book, and specifically about the Holy Land, as I anticipate this trip, this pilgrimage, that's now less than a month away. And so the anticipation is really setting in, because I think I shared with you, we're going to be there at the beginning of Advent. So imagining actually standing there, gazing out over Shepherd's Field, standing in David's town of Bethlehem, Nazareth, the Jordan River, the Dead Sea, the Mount of Beatitudes, Mount Sinai, Jerusalem. I mean, it's all so much. It's more than my mind can take in, and I haven't even set foot there. But now that it's happening, it's like the intensity of my heart just races even thinking about it. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. It's really been the spiritual nuggets watching these videos that have blown me away. And I wanted to share one with you because I thought it was so neat. And whether or not any of us ever get to the Holy Land, I think his insight is so evergreen, so beautiful. So I want to set up this clip. He is an elderly priest. He has hearing aids. They, as a group, are gathered in a church, very intimate setting. You can see like the stone walls around them, and they're sitting really close together, sharing insights that they've taken away from the journey. Here he is in his priestly collar, but I feel like he's talking as a son of the Father, as a good servant, and also at the same time as a shepherd in this beautiful, vulnerable moment. So I wanted to share it with you. Take a listen.
Through the years, the Lord has shown me how much he loves me, and he just wants me to trust him. And this experience here is just, it's met more than my expectations. And I never realized how much God loves all of us, individually, and caring for us. And he's so pleased that we're all here for his great honor and glory, and to be with him in heaven eternity. The fear is leaving me more and more and more, and I just thank God for that. It's become less and less. It becomes more and more looking forward. Someday, I believe, I will be in heaven for all you people.
Wow, and that's the thing about experiences like that, a pilgrimage, I think a retreat, a time that allows for those emotions to come through, where we go to the desert. And having been a part of retreats, the Arise retreat, pilgrimages, there is such a shared feeling of, wow, God loves me more, so much more than I can even comprehend on a human level. And I think it's because in those places, we're taken out of ourselves. We're put in a place of vulnerability that widens our scope, that opens our hearts, where we are free to encounter him on the mountain. And Jesse Romero, in our interview coming up, is going to talk a little bit about this as well. He talks about what it is, what happens. He brings up Elijah, the still small voice, the breeze, in how it can be the thing that changes everything. So I'm just grateful and excited for all of it. And we've had a surge in signups, by the way, too, over the last few weeks. I thought we were pretty much done and closed up, but I called Proximo. They're the ones that are leading this trip. And they said, no, we can squeeze a couple people in. We should be getting our flight itineraries. And for anyone who is a planner, this is when it kicks into overdrive, because at least for me, do I have the adapter that I need? Can I bring my hair dryer? You know, all these questions. We also found out in our group that we have people coming from all over Texas, Florida, Ohio, Oklahoma, Illinois, lots of mothers and daughters on this trip too, which I think is interesting. You just never know the combination of souls. But I wanted to share all of that to get around to the point of this book that I wanted to share with you that I'm reading. God bless my priest, Father J. Monsignor J. Clark. He gave me this book. It's called Praying with Scripture in the Holy Land, Daily Meditations with the Risen Jesus by Monsignor David Rosage. I think that's how you say his name. And I will link it up in the show notes, but you don't want to go to Amazon because I think it was like $50. It's really expensive. There is another site. I don't know if it's his site, but you can get it for under $8. And I have been glued to the pages of this book, so I really recommend it. It gives you an intimate look. These are really good meditations about the life of Christ being there in little bite-sized reflections. Really awesome. So there you go. Thumbs up totally. Again, it's called Praying with Scripture in the Holy Land, Daily Meditations with the Risen Jesus.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Jesse Romero. Thank you for joining me, Jesse.
Thank you for inviting, Brooke. Good to be here.
Well, for those that don't know, I just want to share a snapshot of your bio. I know there are some listeners who will be super fans and know everything about you, to those that are hearing you for the first time. And really, I'm going to condense it because it's pretty lengthy. You are obviously a husband, a father, a grandfather now, but you also have a master's degree in Catholic theology. You were a three-time World Police Olympics boxing champion, kickboxing champion. Do you still do that, by the way?
No, I just train fighters, but I'm not in the ring no more.
Oh, you're in the spiritual ring, I guess, right?
That's right. I'm in another ring. I'm fighting another battle.
You are, and also busy with writing, and we want to get to your new book as well, your radio program, just a lot. What I want to talk to you about as we jump in is manhood. I think we see so many areas and arenas that men are under attack. I know all the time you talk about this on your program, and it's your heart to reach into the masculine spirituality and pull out the strength that's kind of dormant. Do you see that?
Absolutely. I actually think that the Catholic Church has been effeminized. And of course, obviously, Dom, you know, I'm not some misogynist. I married a woman, okay? So I love women. I happened to marry one for 34 years, the same one. But the point that I'm making is that too many Catholic men have become couch potatoes and have forgotten that they play a very vital role in terms of leading the family, leading and protecting and providing for the family. And they've basically relegated those duties to mom and to their wife.
Why do you think that is? I know, we know, of course, it's the spiritual battle, but in terms of the practical day-to-day struggles that men face, is it because they're just complacent, they're lost? Have they kind of had their identity stripped from them? What do you think is the source?
There's a lot of things, a lot of reasons why this happens. Number one, men have been basically effeminized by the culture, by the mainstream media, colleges, universities, just by the pop culture, by the Hollywood pop culture that has a powerful influence on the rest of this country, a higher education, and also, you know, the rise of radical feminism, not Christian feminism, radical feminism, where, you know, many people think that they don't need a man, they don't need a family, they don't need children. So this is kind of a way of telling men, we don't need you. You're irrelevant. If you treat a man like a boy, he's going to act like a boy. A third thing, we live in a society right now that's not, it's a non-committal society. Okay? It's the hookup culture. Mm-hmm. And so that keeps men, it doesn't allow men to grow up, this hookup culture, this non-committed relationship culture, it keeps men infantile in their thinking.
When you look at the headlines, and I think even just basic observation, I think, too, you see a stripping away of everything that was sacred. Once marriage and marriage in a church was sacred, now between a man and a woman, it is just an arbitrary thing, according to the culture. And all of the things that traditionally, even embracing men for men, seems to be something that is no longer seen as sacred and holy. And you know, and I know you've spoken a lot about it, John Paul II talks about that, the dignity of men and women, the feminine genius of women. So how do we get that back when that identity seems to be clouded in, obviously, what the enemy would like to do, confuse and convolute?
Yeah, we got the only solution to the mess we're in is Catholic moral teaching, is bring men back to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then bring men back to obedience to the teachings of the Catholic Church that have worked magnificently for 2,000 years, that has been the catalyst for the greatness in Western civilization. And at this point, we seem to be rejecting all of this. To bring men back to where they need to be, we got to go back to basics. We've tried modernism and secular humanism and relativism for 40 or 50 years. It's failed. Time to go back to basics.
Well, what does that look like in terms of prayer? I'd like to start with a personal question for you. What is your devotional-like life when you wake up in the morning through the day and the things that bring you grace?
The great saints of the Catholic Church have said that prayer is communication with God. And so if you want to have a relationship with somebody, you've got to talk to them. Also, a relationship requires time spent together. You want to build a relationship with God on solid rock? You have to spend time with Him, and you have to spend time talking to Him. We call that prayer. Personally, I'm a very structured individual, probably because of my fighting background, so much time I spent in gyms, training for fights and training fighters. And my police background, I spent years in police locker rooms and roll calls and, you know, go arrest this guy. Here's this warrant. Go do this. So I'm used to structure. So what I do, I follow a very basic principle. I eat generally three times a day. I think most Americans eat three times a day. So I say, I've got to pray three times a day. If I'm going to feed my body three times a day, I'm going to feed my soul three times a day as well. Very simple. That, and that way, I do it very structured, morning, midday, and evening.
I remember one episode you were talking about the power of one drop of holy water. How much do the sacramentals play into your life too, Jesse?
Well, I got a miraculous medal around my neck that I haven't taken off in about 20 years. Last night, it's funny, every couple of days, I just get this impulse from the Holy Spirit to go and bless my house and bless all the rooms with holy water. I did that last night. My wife was asleep. She woke up and stuff, you know. What are you doing? I said, oh, I'm sorry about that, honey. I'm blessing you. So just, you know, I do that every couple of days because I know the power of holy water, the power of sacramentals, especially holy water. It has the power, again, to repel demons. And I actually believe that we're fighting demons. I think that our battle is not against flesh and blood, human beings. It's against principalities, powers, and rulers in high places. And so, the rosary, I pray that every day. I just finished praying my rosary right before you Skype me over here. And so sacramentals are in a very important part of my day. Why? Because what does it do? A sacramental, it gives you what's called actual grace or signal grace at the moment. It gives you strength right there at the moment to walk the walk and talk the talk. So sacramentals are different from the sacraments, which give you sanctifying grace, and that's another topic.
As I hear you talk and your passion, your zeal, which I think is one of the things that make you so magnetic and what we're called to be as evangelists, but I also think of a condition called HHE, which is what I have personally named this. HHE is holy husband envy, and I've seen this with women, myself included, where if it's a friend and they're talking about how their husband has such a consistent schedule with going to adoration and praying in Latin and reading, you know, all these great theological books. Obviously, we all have different strengths and crosses and graces and challenges, but there does seem to be a lot of sleeping giants. And what I mean by that is men who aren't yet in that energy level of their faith, but yet they have it within them. And I know it takes work, and I talk about that a lot in going to different churches, that like anything in life, whether it is our marriages or our diets, and you know this as a fighter, the greatest work of our life should be our faith, and so it does take work. But what would you say to help energize and galvanize the men who are just like, I'm not feeling it?
Here's the reason a lot of men aren't feeling it. I'll just tell you why. Because they're hanging around with knuckleheads. It's pretty simple. They're not rocket science. St. Dominic Savio said, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
And St. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, bad company corrupts good morals. Here's the problem. A lot of men hang around with bad guys. They hang around with the bad boys. And so they're going to pull you away from the Lord. They're going to pull you away from holiness and virtue. And so what you need is you need to hang around with the good guys. And that's why it's, you know, there's a saying in the book of Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. This is why it's so important for guys to plug in to good men's groups. Knights of Columbus, Catholic Men's Fellowship, Catholic Men of Promise, the Axe Men's Group, Curcio Men's Group, Brotherhood of St. Dismas. There's so many good Catholic men's groups out there that you need to plug into because men need positive peer pressure. And that's what a good Catholics men's group does. It spurs you towards goodness, beauty, and truth.
I'm going to name off a couple of things. I love that, by the way. And I think what's great is you're offering actual action steps because I know, depending on what church, there are a lot of churches, not a lot, but some that are anemic that just don't have those groups yet. But I know we're blessed to live in a nation where we're free and there are many churches, Catholic churches. And if they don't have one at your church, you can either start it or go to one near you. I want to name a couple things. As I think about my oldest son is 16 and I have 5 children, my husband as well. And I think about what they are facing and some of the topics, marijuana, the video games, pornography, profanity, rap music, rock music for that matter, some of the vices for men. As moms, how do we combat that? That just seems overwhelming.
You're right. The only way you can combat all those vices that you just mentioned right now is there's two types of men out there. It's very simple. And St. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, but I'll break it down in very simple language. You got spiritual men, you have unspiritual men. Okay, two types of men out there. What's the difference between each of these groups? The spiritual man has a properly formed conscience. In other words, they understand that they are a son of God, and they are put here on earth to know, love, and serve God in this short life and to spend all eternity with him in the next. They got that locked in like a laser in their mind. Unspiritual men of the world, they don't have a properly formed conscience. So you got two types of men. Men that have a properly formed conscience according to the faith, word of God, and men that have a deformed conscience or malformed conscience or uninformed conscience. So the battle is between the ears. It's in the mind. If we capture the mind, you're going to capture the heart. If you don't capture the mind, you will never capture a person's heart. That's why, by the grace of God, I'm very effective. Everywhere I go, probably because of my background, my bio, probably because of my passion, my personality, guys walk up to me and say, I have never heard a Catholic speak like you in my entire life. You rocked my world. You opened my mind. You opened my heart. You got to me. I want to learn more now. And so, again, we as Catholics, we have the fullness of truth, but sometimes we share it like, you know, we share like we're in a library. You know, we should be shouting our faith from the rooftops. What are we ashamed of? This is one of the things that attracts men to sports. Why are they in stadiums raising their hand, raising the roof, shouting and yelling? Because it's contagious. A radioactive person's contagious. And as Catholics, oftentimes, again, we have the fullness of the truth, but we share it like crickets. What I mean by that, we don't share it.
Right. Boy, is that the truth. You talked about the battle is in the mind, and it made me think of the wounds that men carry, specifically the father wound. I was talking to a woman, and she said in prisons, the toughest prayer for the prisoners to say is the Our Father, because in so many cases, they did not have a relationship that was positive with their dad. And so to see God the Father as a loving God is so difficult. And so I think it does go back to the battle of the mind and understanding that the God who loves us and made us, this Psalm 139, Father, Abba, Good Shepherd, is not the dad perhaps that abandoned us. So I guess the merciful side in reaching to wounded men, where do we start in order to spread the gospel of love?
I'll tell you what helps to take men out of their comfort zone. And I found what's very helpful. And again, to get somebody there, okay, that's how you're going to do that. We don't know. But to get a man to go to like the retreat, maybe out in the woods with men or out somewhere, you know, away from their house, away from the family, away from the parish with other men. A man's retreat somewhere. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing one here in Arizona for Catholic men. Because what it does, it takes them away from the city. It takes them away from their iPad, their iPod, their cell phone, from 1,000 channels on television. And now, in the quietness of the woods with a rosary in their hand, with around the campfire, with a Bible next to them, they could actually start hearing the voice of God. Many men can't hear the voice of God because it's drowned out by the noisy secular culture that we live in. Just like we see the example of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, Elijah was trying to find God in all the, you know, the things of nature, the loud thunder and the wind and all the, and where did he hear God? It was a still, small voice. He didn't hear him in the rolling thunder and the lightning. He heard him in the quietness of his heart. A lot of men, they're so busy doing things that are irrelevant, they don't have a time to be introspective and to develop an interior life. That's why the popes and saints are so big on what's called the sacred silence. And that's why adoration is so important, because a lot of men are starting to encounter God in the silent adoration. They're saying, you know, I'm going to try this and I'm going to see what this is all about. And this is one way where men are encountering God, through Cursillo movements and all these other movements, is that by, I talked to the guys after a retreat. I said, what was the most powerful thing in the retreat? They said, wow, when I had to go to the chapel and I was quiet for an hour, or when the priest took out the Blessed Sacrament and we were quiet for an hour. You find that most men, that's where that they have that spiritual earthquake in their heart.
And when they're open to it, because I do think sometimes a pride thing, hubris, pride can be an inhibitor. And many men, I mean, and it's legitimate to some point to say, look, I'm busy, I don't have time. Or some guys are like, look, the outside isn't my thing. Now, my husband, you just described the most perfect getaway of his life, if he could finally, you know, find the time to carve that into his schedule. But where does pride come in for the man who's just like, look, I can pray to God no matter where I am. I don't need something like this.
Well, yeah, that's one of the seven deadly sins. In fact, that's the chief of the seven deadly sins in Proverbs 6:16. The Bible says actually pride comes before the fall. And that was a sin that Lucifer fell into, where Lucifer, this good angel, now became Satan, the devil. That's what he's been using upon mankind ever since the fall, is pride. In other words, to think more about yourself and forget about everybody else. You're the center of everything. You're the center of reality. You're the center of the world. God is irrelevant. God's in a shoebox. Everybody else, you know, they're like gum under your feet. And so, you know, the church teaches also that all the other six deadly sins, you'll fall into them rather easily if you fall into pride. Pride is like, it's the first step that launches you into all the other six deadly sins. If you don't ever master pride, you're done.
What I hear you saying, in my life, it would be the very first Reese's peanut butter cup, because once that lures me in, the entire bag is done. And it's all over after that. You have a new book, and it's called Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. Not surprisingly, the patron of law enforcement, military, is St. Michael. And I love how often you invoke that. He's invoked so often in our own home as well. But would you mind sharing a quick snapshot with our listeners?
It's a book. It's a man's prayer book. Because a lot of men have asked me, Jesse, how do you pray? I hear the way you preach. I'm interested to hear how you pray.
Yeah.
So what I finally did, I said, okay, I'll tell you guys what I do. Here's my morning prayers that I've been doing for 20 years. Then I add a lot of other stuff in the book that's very interesting for men. How you can pray to protect your kids from evil spirits, from demons. How to pray prayers that are like 1,000 years old. Old prayers that you're not going to find in most prayer books these days, because I'll be honest with you, the Catholic liberals have gotten rid of all the spiritual warfare prayers after the 70s, and they give us nothing but kumbaya Catholicism and balloons, banners, and butterflies. In my book, I've got prayers that are 1,000 years old, 1,500 years old, the oldest exorcism prayers I have in there, and I pray them. I pray them in my house. I pray them for over my house. I pray them in my bedroom. I pray them over my children. And so men, when they hear these prayers, they say, wow, these are prayers that I can get into. Look at what it says here. August Queen of Heaven, Heavenly Sovereign of the Angels, crush the infernal spirit under your immaculate feet. Guys say, where'd you get that prayer? I said, dude, these are Catholic prayers that have been written for hundreds and thousands of years, and I brought them into my book. Guys say, dude, you have the most manly prayer book I've ever seen in the Catholic Church. They say that my prayer book is loaded with testosterone. There's not 1 ounce of estrogen in the prayer book. Guys love it. Guys love it.
Hey, guys need that. We need that. Yeah, something wrapped with camo and gunmetal bite, whatever it is, because it's true. That is fantastic, and I think a great Christmas gift. So can we get it on your website? How can we find that?
Yeah, you can order it by going to jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. I put a lot of thought into this book because I also have a section in the book on convincing men on why they should pray. So I have a section there. It's called What Prayer Does to the Brain. I interviewed two brain surgeons, and I redacted their interview, and I put them in my book. And when guys read, especially young men, when they read what prayer actually does to your brain, they are saying, wow, I had no idea. I'm in. I'm all the way in now. Now I know not only am I spiritually getting something out of this, because, again, what prayer does, it fights depression because it releases serotonin from your brain. Prayer, after 15 minutes of prayer, it releases dopamine, so you have that feeling of wellness, of feeling good. These are things that actually happen in the brain when you have a sustained prayer of about 15 minutes. Guess how long it takes to pray the rosary? 15 minutes.
Right. And it's so powerful because I think we know that. You've just put into words what we sense, but we perceive might not have been able to describe. And then when you talk to someone who can put it into words, it absolutely is a light bulb moment, because truth always hits the bullseye of the heart. And men need that. And then it just will be, you know, the fire that launches them deeper, which is so beautiful and needed. As we wrap up, I just want to ask a positive takeaway of stories that you've heard. What encouraging insights can you offer about the state of our culture and the good things you're seeing in the hearts of men that you encounter?
Well, I'm seeing within the last couple of years, I'd say in the last 10 years, I'm seeing the rise of Catholic men's ministries like I've never seen before. The rise of Catholic men's conferences, where you go from one city to another, and you got 500 men, 1,000 men, 2,000 men, 3,000, meeting in different dioceses. And out of that, men are breaking up into little cell groups, into little core groups, going back to their parishes. So there's a synergistic effect. What I'm seeing here, in fact, I'll be honest with you, the largest conferences in the United States that I'm seeing, Brooke, are Catholic men's conferences. They are larger in numbers than anything else I've seen. For example, just right here in Phoenix, Arizona, the largest conference in Phoenix, Arizona is guess what? The annual men's conference. It gets about 3,000 men. It dwarfs anything else. And I'm seeing that in every diocese I go to. The biggest annual event there is not a women's conference. It's not a family conference. It's the men's conference.
Wow.
So God, I think, is preparing the church for something huge.
We need a revival. And thank you so much for being a part of that. Great, inspiring words. I'm going to get the men's prayer book, even though I want to read it. Thank you so much. God bless you for all you do. And thank you for your time, Jesse.
You're welcome. I'll just leave you with something very positive. There's two kingdoms in the world, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of Christ. Guess what? Here's the good news. The kingdom of Satan has an expiration date. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20:10, Jesus is going to throw Satan in hell, along with the beast, and along with the false prophet. Here's the good news. The kingdom of Christ, Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, it says the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to last forever and ever and ever. We're part of the winning team. We're part of team victory. We're part of team Jesus. That's the good news.
Amen. And we will be a part of the church triumphant. Thank you so much, Jesse.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Well, thank you again to our special guest on today's show, Jesse Romero. Again, the name of the book is Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, and I will link that up on the show notes for you. Big, big news on the next show. I have been working on a secret project that I think you're really going to like. It is a collaboration, some incredible writers like, and friends you know, Father Nathan Cromley, Linda Isaiah, Rachel Balducci, Jeff Cavins, Lisa Hendy, news anchor, Hall of Fame broadcaster Robin Swoboda, many, many more writers, gifted authors, all coming together to collaborate on this project that I cannot wait to share. I'm going to spill the beans, all of it, on the next show. I hope that you'll check it out and get caught up on what's going on, get you up to speed there. Also, a big thank you to our Podbean patrons. If you would like to support the program, be a good friend of the show. You can do that. Just click on the show notes and you can help play a part in this humble little program growing as the Lord wills. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire. So for any production needs you might have, you can check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, may we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind today and every day. Saint Michael, defend us in battle. God bless you.